to actually have one person from every table come and speak so we can hear your voices and ask your question or your comment. We'll continue the dialogue like that. So I'll ask first this table to come and we'll move or gather.
Yeah. What would we like to? What comment would we like? What would you guys like to put forward?
Is there anything you guys would like to put forward?
They want a question, don't they?
Or a comment.
A question or a comment that she can address.
I'm Betty. This is the table that I'm at. First question we had for you was, how old are you? It was a couple of years. I didn't go to law school when I first started, and I didn't know anything about law. I was in love with the idea of being a lawyer. And then nobody told me that I was supposed to take the LSAT classes. I didn't go write my exam till the night before I studied for the exam. For those of you that understand law, you know how absurd that is. You don't go write an LSAT. I studied the night before, but I did it in my past, and I was lost and not knowing anything. I was just in love with the idea of being a lawyer. So it wasn't until after law school that when I went home, I was writing a chapter on my book about the land, and I went home because I felt disconnected. When I went home, that's when I seen the devastation of the lands and the waters and the people. You know how that feeling you get when you're first falling in love with someone? You know, you can't get out of your mind, you don't want to be around them. You know that feeling? That's how I felt the first time when I went back to my people's lands. I would even go park at some random road and park my truck there and fall without the truck running. I would fall asleep. I would fall asleep and I would dream. See that cabin? I would even go camp there and just fall asleep. That's how much I was in love with my people's land again. I just couldn't stay away. Even right now, I feel that pull to go back there and go touch that cabin and just touch the earth because I just feel that pull. And that's how it began for me again, just going back to the land.
I guess it has to do with treaties and borders and all this, and just realizing we are all human beings, like big organisms of Earth, and we have to come together and understand what gives life, to realize what's not giving life or polluting life or killing life. And we have to find ways to work together to really sustain what we have now. So thank you, that's inspirational to hear what you're doing.
I'm gonna look for the organic farmers. They're gonna be my new best friends. Raise my children, finish raising them, my 17-year-old anyway, and my grandchildren, so that I have some place to go. Right now, I'm basically homeless, though, you know, I do okay in my life. Start raising organic food. Honestly, I'm not saying that because you're an organic
farmer.
Really, the way our sovereignty is going. I'm good. I'm good at all. I think that would be a start, because the poverty of my people is because the treaty terms and promises are not met. I think that 1 square mile would do a lot for my people. Health and well-being of any nation. It said that a nation can withstand war, dislocation, poverty, but when a nation loses its sense of self and its sense of identity, then it's not long for this world. And if my people cannot practice their culture and their language and their songs, then I don't think that's going to happen anyway, so. We're mentoring young people to make sure that doesn't happen. Well, I think to get there, if we're going to talk about justice for indigenous people, that beginning truly and authentically implementing those treaty terms and promises that are tied to the land.
Thank you.
First off, thanks very much for your presentation. Our question for you is, if you were to sit down with Stephen Harper, what would you like to say to him?
To be prime minister forever.
Yeah.
Eventually he's going to have to join the grassroots. Right? So I would still welcome him to my people's territory, because I have hope for anyone. That's what I would do. Thank you.
I was just wondering, with a lot of recent things in the media being quite controversial, I was just wondering what you could say about that, because I know I converse with people who don't necessarily agree with me. And yeah, I was wondering what you have to say about the current things that have been seen. I guess that you had the picture from the protest, and I know it was kind of shown in more of a negative light, I guess, on a lot of.
Media is not a friend of that. They are paid. Media is owned by one family, and that family is funded by the corporations. I invite you to question it. You've been gifted with a mind from the Creator. Use that mind to discern the information that we're fed every day in the media. I've become very critical when it comes to the media. In fact, I'm very selective which media I speak to. I refuse to have anything to do with some media. I'm picky about CBC. I've become very selective. However, I will speak to the grassroots media because they're not getting their money from corporations. So I suggest that all of you begin to question the media because they were calling us idiots. They were calling us pranksters banging on the drums. Be very critical about it. Don't take their word for anything either. Always question the information that's provided in there. Can I take one more question from over here?
Thank you.
Young people, that's our future. And I'd like a question.
Yes, this one's perhaps not as relevant to the future or the present, but could you please share with us what it was like working on a sugar beet farm as a 5-year-old?
I started working on the sugar beet fields when I was 5 years old. And that image that you see, I still remember details about those fields. One acre is nine rows. And it was $25 per acre. I still remember that. There'll be times when that farmer would follow us as we're walking down that field and telling us you missed a weed. So I know injustice, and I would never wish that on anyone. And I hope that moving forward, we remember that no child, no nation deserves that kind of treatment, a violation of our human rights. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and my mom bandaging my brother's feet and hands because they developed blisters. Those rows are half a mile long and we were usually sent to work there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night.
That's terrible.
And I remember hating it. Remember that feeling. Being together, worrying, we walk all day. I started daydreaming a lot. Now, my children will never see that. Neither will my grandchildren. My last breath, I will defend for those very things because I know what injustice is. And I will never wish that for any child. Now, the other thing that Alan Moore does is they defend for those things that cannot defend for themselves. And those are the animals, the trees, because that's a part of our law as indigenous people, that we defend for those things as well. Thank you again.
We'd like to ask Erica to come. I am from Muscogee's territory, from the Lakota tribe, and I am honored to present this eagle feather to Sylvia Mercado on behalf of her Spirit of the Land class and the Augustana University. To honor you with this eagle feather. To us indigenous people, the eagle feather is a sacred animal. It is a symbol of guidance and strength. And with what I Don't Know More stands for, fighting for Mother Earth, the water, land, and air affects everyone, not just indigenous people. Thank you for coming to Augustana and raising awareness on what is important on their earth. You ever see those images of I Don't Know More where the hand is not like this with a feather?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that image? You know what that means? It means peace. Stand in peace. That's what that symbol is. I stand in peace with all of you. Sylvia has helped us begin our conversation. Thank you so much for contributing to this conversation. And for those tables that we were not able to hear from, know that that dialogue continues tomorrow. And tomorrow we will, in the morning, hear from two guests about what it means to be treaty people. And then the afternoon of the but care for the land and what that looks like for many. So as we depart this evening, and then as we gather many times tomorrow, I invite you to shake hands with one another as Sylvia would shake. Family to family. And in this way, we recognize our commonality. Perhaps you call it spirit, perhaps you call it sacredness that binds us to each other and is the spirit out of which we've been created, binds us to the earth. And so, as you depart this evening, shake hands with one another. And say see you tomorrow. Don't say goodbye.